All my women throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson. I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. All my women throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson.
Big bills in my duffel, yo. You don't want trouble, bro. Heat in my pocket, heart cold like buffalo. I would just hustle one thing, but I need options. That work about to touch down, call it Steve Johnson. Catch me flying through the field like who want beef? It's 25, but I could get it for the 1-3. Certified fly guy, you on my time. I'm really real and you as real as a sci-fi. I'm trying to bring it home, baby, it's our time. They cheering for me like I'm cross the 1-yard line. And I'm all about my bills like Stevie Johnson.
Black card boys, yes, BCB, we pop.
Get that dough straight across like I'm running streaks. My bills come in hundreds, my women come in threes. This hater ran up on your boy like he was furious. I lifted up my shirt like, why so serious?
I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. All my women throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my...
I mean, obviously, it's frustrating. Extremely disappointed. Come down to one play in the end. And
losing's never fun. To lose like that, it's painful. It hurts.
At the end of the day, they had two special players that made a special play.
Thought we guarded it pretty well. I mean, like you said, had three people around them. Just got to find a way to make the play. There's really not a whole lot of anything else to say. Just got to find a way to get that ball out of his hands some way, somehow.
I think we all feel like Jordan Poyer does today. The guy looked absolutely bummed in that post-game press conference yesterday on Sunday. Why So Serious podcast, season 3, episode 10. I'm joined by Ashley and Will. We're going to break down that disaster in the desert, heartbreak in Arizona, tumultuous meltdown. You can go on and on, whatever you want to call what happened on Sunday afternoon at about 7:20 in the evening in Glendale, Arizona. I think I could speak on behalf of everybody. Tragic?
What do you say? I mean, shoot.
Hey, I know normally I have a big mouth on here, but I think I'm going to chill out right now. Yeah, have at it, Ashley.
Wait, my sound keeps cutting out again, so if I leave, that's fine.
How convenient. All right, listen.
Perfect timing.
What happened? Exactly, Fredo. So, what happened? What happened was this. You know, Buffalo actually played a really good game. You know, all the analysts on television predicted Arizona to handily beat us. You know, knowing that we were coming in, you know, with a head of steam, you know, the boys played well last week. I think that we played well given the situation, you know. I think that our squad overall played well, but we keep addressing the same issues going back to the drawing board, and it's like a broken record. Containment for me has been one of my biggest things in this whole thing, and I've been saying it every single week. That's what happened with Kyler Murray. He was able to squirt free because he wasn't contained. It was nobody else on that side to even try to contain him. I don't think that we used the right coverage in that situation, knowing that they needed to throw a Hail Mary. And, hey, things happen. It's not like we didn't cover the guy. I mean, we had three DBs on him. The problem is Hopkins has a 6-inch vertical advantage over our players, meaning he's got like a 38, 39-inch vertical. I mean, you can't defend that. That's a basketball player move. And that ball couldn't have been thrown any better for him to have an advantage over our smaller DBs.
It still makes me sick watching this, and we're playing it out right now.
I mean, look at that. That is perfect. It's nobody can get that but him.
And here's the thing, too, and it's like the way Poyer was coming in there, if Poyer was just maybe a step and a half too late. His hand was there to swat that ball. First of all, I don't know what to think here. For the last 24 hours, I've been contemplating, how do you handle this? Do you sit here, tip the cap, and say, you know what, that might be the greatest play of the season, you guys got beat? Or do you sit here and say, you know what, screw that, you can't let it come down to that? I mean, we lost a football game that we're winning with 34 seconds left. I'm not going to say stop the clock. But
right.
I mean, this was the Bills game to lose at that point with 34 seconds left, and they lost it.
Well, Ashley, go ahead. You take it, Ashley.
I was going to say, I don't know what y'all said while I was gone, but wow. Just, I have to say, like, it was a good play on Arizona's part. I mean, we had our three best guys back there with him. You have Trey White, you have Jordan Poyer, you have Micah Hyde. The three people that you would want back there that probably have caught the most interceptions for this secondary, you know, the last couple years. So you got everyone that, you know, but you're going against the best wide receiver in the game right now.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, Stephon Diggs is obviously, like, right up there with DeAndre Hopkins. You know, after this game, there was a lot of talk about how the trades really worked out for Arizona and Buffalo. I mean, you got DeAndre Hopkins is incredible, and they made a play when it counted the most, and I think that timeout we took really screwed us over. I don't think that was a good idea at all, and honestly, I'm surprised we didn't put some wide receivers on the field for this play, but it is what it is. You know, we're 7-3, and I bet all of us would have taken that had we known that going into the bye before the season.
When you keep showing that play over and over again, Fredo, like, I just watched it like six times as you showed it.
I get a headache when I see that.
He kept showing it, right? I'm like this. My palms are sweating. Listen, when you show that over and over, you almost couldn't get any better position. It's literally the matter of who leaves the ground first and a matter of inches. Because two more inches, Poyer knocks that ball away. Uh-huh. Another inch or so, Tre'Davious White had phenomenal position, and Poyer actually knocks Tre'Davious White out of the way. But you can't blame it on that because the ball pretty much had already made contact.
And plus, you don't want pass interference either, so you have to keep, you know.
Well, some people are saying we should have just took the penalty, hit him, or did something once we. But then what happens? Okay,
but then there's
the 1 yard line. We saw what he did on that other play for the goal line.
Yeah, but then we have a chance to live again for a few more plays. This is us talking after the fact. Because if we had just lit him up in that end zone, snatched his arms down or whatever, stopped the catch, put him on the 1 yard, everybody would have been like this. Oh, my God. Why would you get a penalty in this situation?
That's
true. So we'd have been ungrateful either way. I just hated to see it happen like that. I mean, I got my adrenaline pumping for nothing, man.
And that's why I say, like, that offense, they need to have the pedal to the metal way sooner. I'm sorry, but this game could have been taken so easily if this team just picked it up earlier on. That third quarter, I'll tell you what, when that defense allowed 17 points, they overall had a decent game. But when you're giving up that many points in one quarter,
can't do it.
Come on, you're going to lose the game.
And it's funny, too, because we always say, you know what, the third quarter slump, it's inevitable. I even tweeted it yesterday because, you know what, at first I'm like, okay, wow, we scored right out of the gates in the third quarter. Here we go. Are we not going to deal with that this week? And then really the rest of the game until that last offensive drive on that touchdown pass from Josh to Diggs, the rest of the game, other than that play, other than that drive, really, the rest of the game, we looked like shit.
Yep.
There was nothing that we could get right on offense in that second half.
The penalties,
except for the last 3 minutes of the game. Penalties
It was the penalties, but it was this. If you want to watch this game again, you can literally see it happen right before your eyes. Arizona turned the heat up. I mean, they blitzed us every play. They figured it out. I mean, because we were eating. Listen, we don't have the big Megatron receiver. You know, we don't have the big guy receiver, E-Molds type status, you know, build kind of guy. But we've got some quick guys with heart. And they started taking that heart away. They literally started blitzing, making Josh scramble, throw crazy passes. He gets sacked for multiple losses on yards. they blitzed the hell out of us. And that's what really turned that game around. They turned the heat up on defense. They knew that we do have third quarter slumps, and they basically used that against us.
But what is it, though, with this third quarter slump? Because this third quarter slump isn't something that's just like this year. It's not something that's just under the McDermott regime. I mean, this is something that we've dealt with for probably the better half of the past two decades. I mean, there's always – this team always slumps in the third quarter. Honestly, with the Buffalo Bills, I don't get it. But the Buffalo Bills can be up by 50 at half, and I'd still be concerned in any game.
Going into that fourth quarter, I was not pleased. Scoring that touchdown, I was like, there's still whatever amount of time it was. I want to say it was like 43 seconds or something.
34.
I had it reversed. But either way, like – I know as a Bills fan, when there's time left on the clock, you cannot expect a win until it hits zero.
Yep.
No, you cannot. No, you
that's
can't.
That's why I was shocked. Go ahead, Will.
No. Go ahead, Fredo.
Well, that's just why I was really quick. That's why I was shocked that we went all or nothing right there on a 31-yard pass to Diggs. Knowing that you have a Tyler Bass who had a kick-ass game yesterday. Knowing that have that safety net in your pocket and potential safety net, and then you just – granted, I'm happy we scored, but now I'm not. I mean, I think that we would have won if this game went to overtime.
Well, exactly. I'll tell you what. The way that our defense – the way that they had figured out our defense, I wouldn't want to go to overtime with them because if they got the ball – I'll tell you what, Kyler Murray – found his wheels because the whole first quarter, even the second quarter, we contained him really, really well. After that, man, he acted like we didn't even have a defense out there, man, and he was running at will, and we take him to overtime. I do believe that we probably would have lost with the momentum that they had. As far as that play, Fredo, going to Diggs, you know, when we needed to go to him, you take what the hell they give us, and honestly, if he thought that we can get that, then take it, man. And he obviously saw a matchup that worked. We can't make excuses for losing the game with 11 seconds. It shouldn't have happened. No. We didn't do anything wrong with our offense towards the end of that. I mean, we made a touchdown when we needed it. We were celebrating. I know I was celebrating.
And
that's
was
what, that's what was supposed to.
Like yelling, losing my voice. Yeah. I was like so stoked. And then I just sit there when this touchdown happens by Arizona. Yep. I'm like speechless. Yeah. I go, did that really just happen?
I was watching the game with Liv, and she like took a video of me celebrating after the touchdown. And she waited. Thankfully, she waited to post it, and it was not posted because we lost. But the second that Hopkins caught that ball, I just turned and go to bed because I had to work at 11 last night. So I just turn and literally go to bed. I don't say a word. I just walk right to the bedroom, and all I hear her say is, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." And it's the unthinkable. I mean, I saw Jeremy White from WGR today. He tweeted this morning. His tweets last night, by the way, were spot on. He said,
incredible.
Holy shit.
He was a great live tweeter last night.
It was awesome. He goes, after the Diggs catch, he goes, holy shit. And then there's like just nothing else after that. And then he just goes, well, we're on at 6. And that was it. And this morning, though, he did tweet. He goes, I've had some time to think about this. Do we tip our cap and say, wow, that's a great play? Or do we still sulk and say, what's wrong with the defense? Personally, for a second, I said, you know what, tip the cap. But then again, you do have to put into discussion, is there a problem on the defensive side of the ball? Even though this team played great, honestly, on the defensive end for the second straight game.
They were missing a lot of people, though. You see, Josh Norman on that list for COVID.
Wallace.
You're missing Tyler Croft. You're missing so many corners that you're down to Dane Jackson from your practice squad. Which
Dane Jackson, though, played well.
I'm not putting him down. I'm an advocate for Dane Jackson staying on the active roster. I love that kid. He's been doing a great job week to week. He proves himself again and again why he should be on that field. But you're also missing – you're missing Levi Wallace. You're missing, you know, Josh Norman. You're missing your two other corners. I mean, and then Dane Jackson goes down, and I forgot who we even put in. I mean, you're down to, like, your fifth backup at corner.
I think we had Daryl Worley, man.
Daryl Worley.
Yeah, that's who. Yeah.
So, like, the fact that we even had to get down that far, like, through to our practice squad to bring up two guys, like, what would happen if we lost, you know, Worley? What goes on? Who are you going to put back there?
We'd end up putting a wide out at corner. Yeah. You know, like, if we had to.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to wonder where the drop-off in production goes, because usually these guys have been stepping up week to week, you know, next man up, and they've been performing. But this week,
it's scary. Let's look at this game like this. Okay. We can say defense, obviously, because you saw how many yards they got rushing towards the end. Quarterbacks running rampant like there's nobody defending them. I get that. That falls back to the same thing we've been saying all season, the same thing the media has been saying and everybody else. We have an issue with the pass rush and containment. That's a given. The issue, the reason we lost that game wasn't really necessarily on that play. Like, the loss came from a hell of a play by a hell of a wide receiver. You know, he got up higher than three guys. He was completely covered and got up 6 inches higher than everybody else to get his hands over on the ball. I mean, that's a great play. You can't deny that. Backtracking into the game, now you can look at issues that happened mid-game. The issues were pass protection, because Josh was getting killed after the second quarter. I'm telling you, it was like a light switch. They figured it out. They started blitzing him every play. Josh is running for his life. He's running backwards. His little spin move to get out of trouble in the back, he'd spin right into defenders because nobody was there blocking. You know, it's obvious. I mean, they figured out a good defensive scheme to play against our offense, because they realized that, hey, we do have burners out there. We do have wide receivers. Cole Beasley, who's my monster, the guy is an ace. He's our guy, man. That's our Edelman West Walker. That's our man, right? So he was killing him.
But that play by Cole Beasley might have been the best catch of the game. But
the one hand? The one hand was, for sure. Well, that's, yeah.
You're screwed if he doesn't catch that.
Hopkins' catch was great. But did we see that one-handed catch by Cole Beasley on the sideline?
It was a great catch.
Listen, you see all of Cole Beasley's catches. The boy, he has a heart of steel. And that's what I mean. So they figured it out. They dialed up a hell of a defense against us. They hurried Josh. And when you hurry Josh, as much as I love him and as many 300-400 yards games as he's had this year, when you hurry Josh, bad things happen. And that's what started happening, you know, whether the ball's going in the dirt or he just tosses one up. I mean, the one that he threw to Singletary, I thought for sure was a pick that little crazy went over the middle when he was falling down. That's the most dangerous, dumb thing you could ever do. It worked out. Singletary caught the ball, but that's a pick six. Yep. You know,
he lost 5 yards, too, on that.
But you can tell he's learning, though, because he did throw the ball away a lot more often than he would have the last couple years. You see it.
Well, that's why I'm trying to be careful. That's why I'm trying to be careful. I mean, I'm giving Josh his due. I mean, the boy is 100% better than he was. I'm giving more credit in this conversation, what I'm saying, to the Arizona defense. You know, they put pressure on him. Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. I just want to say, though, that Josh Allen would have thrown a hero ball a couple times this game if it was the Josh Allen of last year or the year prior.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So, I guess we can be thankful for that at the very least. I don't know.
I don't know either. And I'm just like, I'm still at a loss for words, kind of. I don't know if I'm like, if I'm upset, if I'm in denial or what it is. I mean, this is still a team that's right in the thick of it. I am concerned about Miami.
100%.
Very much so. Very much so. Miami
is playing really good football. Yeah. Miami has Tua right now playing undefeated. He hasn't lost yet.
That defense is really helpful to him, though. Just throwing that out there.
The defense is good. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, Miami, their next three games, their schedule gets tough down the stretch. Their last four, they play the Chiefs, the Pats, then they end the season back-to-back on the road at Vegas and then at the Bills. But – these next three for them, I don't see a loss, which scares me. They play at Denver, which Denver's tough.
They're playing them without Drew Lock, though. Game. Drew Lock is not playing this week.
Oh, right. Shit.
All right. So that's a win for Miami.
Miami's going to win that.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it's Miami's going to win that one. And that means coming out of the bye, the Bills coming out of the bye, if Miami does beat Denver this week, they will be 7-3. The Bills are 7-3. Coming out of the bye, the Bills get the Chargers at home. Miami plays the Jets. This division could be tied 8-3.
They do, and Miami's winning that game.
Well, of course they are, because nobody's losing to the Jets.
We almost tricked it up.
I was praying for the Patriots to lose to the Jets, and it didn't happen. So, I mean,
I will say there's two. I think they do lose three straight. I think they lose to Cincy. I think Cincy's a trap game. It is at home. They play three straight at home. Cincinnati is a trap game. Joe Burrow's playing good football.
Joe Burrow is playing great football.
Joe Burrow's playing good football as a rookie, and it's just a matter of time before they get things cooking. And what do you always see in rookie quarterbacks? They get things going even better and more in the last quarter of the season. Yep. That game's the first game in December for both teams. So I do like the Bengals in that one. And then they play the Chiefs. That's a loss. And they play New England. I personally don't think they will beat New England. New England.
Hey, where are they playing the Chiefs at, Fredo?
It's in Miami. Again.
Listen, we might as well start praying right now. We can pray. Like Fredo's like this. Like Fredo's my guy, man. I love Fredo. He's like this. I don't know. I think that we could probably beat. No, stop. Miami is kicking some serious butt,
they
man.
They are, and I don't know how.
They are literally, the whole team is in the parking lot when other teams show up like this. Yes, we're ready. Yep. Let's go. Those boys are. Kansas City's going down there to a dog fight. Miami could win that game at home. Cincinnati, Miami's going to beat Cincinnati. Because Miami is technically a better team, more sound team. I know that since he has a little bit of momentum behind him, but you got to look at what Miami's doing on that defensive side of the ball and the way that they are just really gelling on that offense and still putting up big points. They just beat Arizona. I don't think that they lose. I think they're going to win like four games, man. It's going to come down to us.
It's going to come down to that last game in Orchard Park. Yeah. Isn't that funny how the schedule – That they always make these divisional games. It's always funny how somebody knows something that we don't know because it always comes down to it. Every single year, there's a divisional matchup that really is – it comes down to everything. And that could be the game.
I'll tell you what, that rivalry is about to be rekindled. I'm seeing it happen. These two teams are about to fight for this division for the next 10 years between Tua and Josh. And it's going to be interesting to see – I mean, I don't trust that Miami's going to totally lose to the Chiefs right now. I mean, the Bills, had the weather not been such a factor and our run game be so horrible to a point that we couldn't pass and we had to choose the run and it just wasn't working for us and it did for the Chiefs, you have to wonder if they're beatable when they're going down to Miami. They're not used to warm weather like that, so they might get tired quicker. That defense could get tired out quick. You don't know what you're going to get down there. So that could be, you know, that's a toss-up in my eyes.
I think the thing that frustrates me the most about Miami, I'm looking at their roster right now. They're running backs. I mean, not that we're like almighty God with the running back situation we have, but I mean, listen to these guys they have on offense. Sylvain Ahmed, who is that?
Devontae
Parker, Dean Graham. Their best receiver, I mean, Mike Gesicki's a stud, but their best receiver is Devontae Parker.
He's not bad, though.
No, he's not. He's good.
He's a decent receiver. I'll give him that.
He's got good hands. He's got good speed.
He's not Stephon Diggs. He's not Cole Beasley.
Oh, no. Well, nobody's Stephon Diggs. I mean, those are beasts. You know what I mean? Like, don't ever talk like that, Fredo, about our guys, man.
I just look at this roster, and I'm just like – I mean, and if you look outside of those three wide receivers that I named, they have Malcolm Perry, Lynn Bowden Jr., I think he's a rookie, Preston Williams, and then Alan Hearns, that's an oldie but a goodie,
wow.
And Albert Wilson. Matt Breida is their starting – Matt Breida is not bad, but Matt Breida was the starting running back until this week. He was out this week, but their starting running back was Sylvain Ahmed. Anybody can come up.
It doesn't matter what your name is or where you're from. Anyone can have a come up.
True.
some days. True. So you guys always joke around about my age. Now this is not too far back, so knock it off. But anyway, so my boy Lee used to play. Everybody knows Lee Evans. So mm-hmm. when he used to play here, and we'd be inside the box and we'd be looking down on the field at the team. You know, at one point, he was the only name on the team. And what I mean by that is, and no disrespect to any of my other friends that might watch this, like, you understand what I'm saying, though? Like, he was, it's hard to say this, but it's the truth. I mean, like, you know, it was Lee Evans and a whole cast of couldn't start on any other team out there. You know, Josh was out there, who was our scrappy guy to go do some dirty work. Justin Jenkins, you know, who else? Oh, George Wilson, who converted over to safety.
Stud.
You know, but he was wide receiver first. You know, so my point is, he had to convert because he wasn't a good wide receiver. But at one point, mm-hmm. when Lee was out there, he was in a starting slot on the other side. So you can take a team with no big names, and they can have a hell of a coach, great play calling, and they can do really well. So when you mention a team like this that has no big names, it doesn't matter, man. What's happening in that heart? You know, I mean, you can devise a game plan to work to your strengths. Hey, in the words of Stevie Johnson, take what they give you.
I do agree. I mean, Miami's always played tough, and now we can go back to week two and look at that game that we won 31-28, and that like everybody was like, "Wow, we only beat Miami by three."
But now it's
that's a good win.
Yeah,
I want to go through.
Oh, wait, real quick, Fredo. I just got three texts. People saying they can't comment.
I have comments.
You know why?
I'm receiving comments right now.
Oh, you are? On Twitter?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, on Twitter.
Oh.
Okay.
Everybody wants to comment Bubba on this one.
Bubba C sent us like 97 comments.
Okay. All right. I'll tell them.
Yeah, they should be there. Okay, buddy. So, anyway, so I want to go through the schedule really quick and see what we think here. Bills coming out of the bye, at home, Bills, Chargers.
I'll take a win on that.
Okay. Will?
Oh, yeah, I'll take a win on that. Right. For sure.
We're on Howard picks the Bills right now.
I mean, honestly, at this point.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I was just nervous when I said that. I felt like I needed to say yes. Like, I didn't want to say no. Here I go. I'll take a win on that.
The sad thing is, if Miami keeps playing good football and the Bills play good football like we're expecting them to,
right?
This division could be tied going into the last weeks of the season with like an 11-4 record, or like even 12-3. It's insane.
Aren't they expanding the playoffs to 18 teams?
16.
No.
But yeah.
16.
They are expanding.
16.
It,
my bad. I know it went up by two, but.
I don't care. I want the division. But,
no, so do I. Trust me.
I think we'll get the division because already we're ahead of Miami, obviously, in the division.
Right.
He's got to beat Miami again.
We got to beat Miami again. I do believe at home, we got that at home, man. Buffalo in the snow, hopefully, we can get them at home.
Worried about Foxborough. We're going to Foxborough.
Yeah, and they New England, granted the weather there last night was something. The weather, they got the weather last night that we had all day yesterday. I mean, I can't believe they were playing. I can't believe Lamar Jackson threw for over 200 yards in that game.
That's crazy.
All right, next game, San Francisco, Monday Night Football, 3 weeks from tonight.
That's a win.
I'm going to go with a win because everybody's still injured.
Okay. I agree. I think a win.
Hold on. Hey, Ashley, look confident. Come on, look. If you guys are watching this podcast, if you're watching the podcast, you see her shake her head no as she said yes. Yep. Hey.
Hang on. The reason I flip-flopped a little bit for a second is because if you have noticed, every time this team does not play at 1 p.m. on Sunday, they have lost.
Oh, that's a good point.
What are our three losses? A Monday evening game or a Monday afternoon game.
Monday dinner time football.
It was Tuesday afternoon, excuse me. It was Tuesday afternoon football. We had a Monday night game that was really supposed to be a Thursday night game. And then you have a Sunday 4 p.m. game. Where are your three losses? right there. And I'll tell you what, I don't think the time difference helped them any at all. That helped Arizona.
Well, yeah, they're home. It definitely would.
So that Monday night game, I'm a little iffy on it, but I'll give them a win because everybody's injured on the 49ers.
That's true. I agree. All right, Will, what do you got?
I'll tell you what. That 49ers game, I believe we're going to win because of this. This team can win. I mean, I really ride with this team. The thing that makes me indecisive about this team is those little plays that set us back, like when we were reminded of what we were 2 years ago. Like, you know, Josh's crazy pass here and there, but then he'll freaking throw a stellar fourth quarter like you've never seen in your life. You know, so if the team goes in and they play consistent football, if they address our issues, and now, like Ashley pointed out earlier, our bigger issues right now this past week was the fact that we were missing half our key players.
Yeah,
no team can win that way. No team can win that way. If we had all of our starters this past week, we'd have beat them by 2 touchdowns easy.
Okay.
So I'm going with a win on that one for sure.
I'm going to say a win on that one too. I agree coming out of the bye with the Chargers. That's I mean, there's no easy game here, but that's I'm going to say that's a win. So you're looking at 9-3.
That sounds
Sunday
great.
Sunday night football at home against the Steelers.
Loss. That's already a loss. I'm taking that.
You know what? Let's go back to this now. Last week, Steelers were on the ropes. They were on the ropes with the Cowboys. They almost lost. They were on the ropes. Buffalo is at home. Buffalo is not a slouch team. I do believe that Big Ben is going to come here and be slinging that thing all over the place. I believe it. I believe they are going to get some yards on the ground. But what I do know is this. Our wide receiving core, our offense, is showing a lot of poise, and they're showing that we can drive that ball when we need to. Mm-hmm. I believe we can score on them just like they're going to score on us, and I believe that we can make it a dogfight towards the end and possibly win that game at home by 7.
And I'm going to say that we win that game. Even though it's not Duck and it's Big Ben, we also don't know what's going to happen in 3 weeks with COVID. I mean, I'm not wishing anybody gets it, but every single week there's key players that are getting it. We don't know, for God's sakes. I'm going to knock on wood as I say this, but we don't know who's going to get it.
Nope.
I mean, we found out Saturday that Josh Norman had it.
Yeah, but let's not even throw COVID on the table. Let's look at these teams for who's supposed to be starting, who's supposed to be playing. If everybody's healthy, are we beating Pittsburgh?
We're not going to – here's the thing. If that game's in Pittsburgh, I'm 100% chalking it up as a loss. Because it's at home, I honestly think if you look at past teams and situations that they bounce back from and adversity and all that stuff, personally, did yesterday suck? Absolutely. You got to take that moment and you have to build on it and you have to say, you know what? That was awful. We need to look at this. McDermott needs to show those guys that play every single day for the rest of the season.
Oh, God.
And say, don't let this happen again. You don't want to lose like this. Embed that image in their heads, in their brains for the rest of the season and say, you know what? Do not win like this. Your season is not defined on this one play. Because you know what's crazy? We're 8. If we win yesterday, we're 8-2. It's a much different conversation, and it's hysterical how in this league, 8-2 is insanely different from 7-3. I think the only reason why we're nervous with being 7-3 is that we have Miami knocking on the doorstep, and we have a bye week this week. So we can't help ourselves or hurt ourselves this week. Meanwhile, Miami's got a cupcake on Sunday, and they could be 7-3, and here we're tied going into the end of November. Sure. I do think, though, going back to the schedule thing, Pittsburgh, in my eyes, is a win. I think we might lose one of the last three. Really quick, Denver, what do you guys think?
We don't know
what that game's going to be yet.
That's a win.
Win?
Win.
Win. I'm going to say win, too. New England.
At New England's – listen, New England's not that impressive this year, man. We've shown we can play against them, and if everybody's healthy, we can beat them at home, which will be beautiful. Double.
They just beat the Ravens. What? Just throwing that out there.
Oh, no. They played in a monsoon. First of all,
but still.
I'm actually shocked that game wasn't delayed a little bit with that
weather. I thought it should be. Did you see at one point you couldn't even see?
Couldn't see.
Everyone has the same conditions to play in. So on either side of the ball, it's fair because you're both playing in that, you know, in that condition. Just like the Chiefs game. The Chiefs game, we were raining the whole time.
Okay, well, if you really want to look at it, Ash, the Ravens, Seattle, you know, all of our powerhouses are falling like the towers because the truth of the matter is the Ravens haven't been playing the same football they have been playing. Russell's out there struggling. I don't know what the heck's going on in his mind. Sierra's putting it all mine at home or what? I mean, using up this. I mean, she might be working it out. She led the way I ride. Probably well, putting it down on that boy.
Baby, so he's got a baby at home.
Something's going on because that boy is not playing the same football. So the point is this. The Ravens aren't the same squad. Yeah, they lost to New England, but they haven't been playing the same consistency. They're not the same as they were last year. I think that we go into New England and we could beat New England based on the fact that they are definitely a team that's just trying to put some makeshift pieces together, man. They got square pieces trying to fit in the circles. They got all kind of stuff going on that team. And I think that Belichick is in the lab drawing up some stuff that's going to be good, but not good enough to beat this wide receiving core, man. I got faith in our boys.
And you can tell that Bill Belichick is agitated because he doesn't have, you know, he always thought he was going to have the next guy up, Jimmy Garoppolo, to give to, you know, his team. And that was going to be his next guy. But then you see, you know, that discord between Robert Kraft and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You see something's going on there. I guarantee in a couple years, something's going to come out as to what happened with all them. Because, you know, Rob Gronkowski retired and then came back on a different team this year because something happened there.
Something happened.
And we don't know.
Well, he came back because he loves Brady. I mean, Brady and him are boys. Brady probably begged them behind the scenes, man, to come back and make this last run with me. It was probably some kind of a situation behind the scenes. We'll never know. Maybe in an interview down the line. But it was something like that that made Gronk come back. What's going on in New England is you take out a key element like Brady, which is the nucleus. I mean, he can stand back there and pick you apart if he's got all scrubs at wide receiver or tight end.
You he can take Joe Schmo off the street.
Yep.
That's what I mean. Belichick's done it for years.
Yep.
We have a situation there. We got Cam Newton coming off the bubble. Everybody trashing him around the league. Can't find a team to play for. You know, crazy hats, crazy dress code, crazy everything. Hell of a work ethic. Everybody loves his work ethic, but Cam's Cam. He can't duplicate what Brady does. In fact, most quarterbacks can't duplicate it. So they're working with a team of misfits, basically, in New England. The defense showed up a little bit yesterday. They looked good against the Ravens. But they definitely aren't a team that you really have to worry about moving down the line. They're not making playoffs for sure. Buffalo should beat them at home. If we play a good game on our offense, we should light them up on offense and stop them on the defense.
You're right. I mean, I'm going to give them a W on that very hesitantly, but I will.
Yeah, I'm going to say – go ahead, Will.
No, go ahead, Fredo. I said me too.
I'm going to say the rest of the way, Bills are going to lose two. Don't know which two. They're going to lose two. And I just, for God's sakes, I hope it's not that first game out of the bye. L.A. is not a bad football team. Their record does not indicate how – decent this team is. I see the Bills finishing 11-5. If they can lose one, 12-4. I say there's two losses on this schedule. Whether you look at New England, I'll put it this way. I see two losses. They're either going to come to, it's going to come down to these three teams: Pittsburgh, New England, Miami. And please don't tell me that last week of the year we're going to lose with the division on the line to the Miami Dolphins, a team that has sucked for the last – I mean, at least we've been there over the last couple of years. I mean, Miami hasn't been good. Even that when they went to the playoffs with Tannehill, they weren't good.
Yeah, but looking at the way that they're playing recently on this win streak they're in right now, and not only the fact that they're just winning the games, they're legitimately beating these teams. Yeah. They're not flukes. So Miami honestly is going to be something to be reckoned with towards the end in our division. Now, that is going to be a big game for us. If you had to pick a loss, you can't, like Shannon Sharp said, you can't sleep on the Chargers, to be quite honest. I mean, they're playing good football. So I would, if I had to pick two, I want us to win them all, and not just because I'm some super Bills fan. I believe that we have the talent to do it. But if I had to pick a loss, I would think Pittsburgh would be the omen in the whole thing, because they are a well-coached team. They do have talent on both sides of the ball, and that defense has shown that they can blow a line up. So I think they'll be living in our backfield. I think that if we don't design plays around that pass rush they have, that we'll get killed all day. So I would pick Pittsburgh, and I would think possibly San Diego or the Chargers. But the rest of the time, I think we win all those games, even New England at home.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, it's a tough schedule, that's for sure. I mean, I'd much rather be in Miami's position right now. I think, quite frankly, Miami fans, if there is even any Miami football fans, I think they're looking at the schedule.
My friend Chris Kelly, he's watching this podcast right now because he texted me and told me he was going to watch it. But anyway, he sent me first time I didn't have a response for him. Usually I can trash talk all day, but he sent me this gif of his Dolphins running out of the tunnel, pointing the fingers. He said, "We're coming for you. We're coming for you."
I saw that.
So I typed him a message. I deleted it, typed another one. I didn't even know what to say. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm actually afraid of this gift right now.
You don't want to put yourself in a box and, like, you know, old takes exposed. Like,
Right.
I'm nervous. I never would have thought I'd say this, especially after seeing Miami start the year 0-2, seeing them win six of their last seven. I mean, I can't even tell if two is the real deal.
No, he
because
is.
The defense helps him out so much.
The defense does help but him out so much.
He is the real deal.
I don't know. I would like to see Tua play with switch defenses. Put Miami's defense on the Bills. Put the Bills' defense on Miami. For his first three games of his career, see how they do. I don't think that Miami would have beaten Arizona or LA if it wasn't for their defense. I don't think Tua did it. I mean, look at that Rams game. He only had like 80-something yards. It was under 100 yards passing.
It's still a team effort, you know, and you still got a quarterback out there who can make some plays. Now, you can't count he's young. He's inexperienced right now in the league. He's just starting to come around. And I think that's only going to – please, this sounds horrible, but we see him at the end of the season. Every week, he's going to get more and more polished, and that defense is going to be showing up. And if he can even convert twice as much as he's doing right now on offense, that's enough to really put it down. I mean, they're winning right now, man. You can't discount the fact that they're winning against legitimate teams. They do have some sleepers on this next part of the schedule, sure, but I think that they win those games. They're going to be competing with us for that final slot in the AFCs.
I just think that – I mean, looking at their schedule, it's tough. I do see a couple trap games in there. We'll see if Brian Flores and company down on South Beach can get it done. I mean, it's definitely –
Let's hope they don't.
But,
right,
let's hope
right.
they don't.
I hope they don't.
I hope they do not.
I agree. And, I mean, you look at this schedule, I would much rather be in Miami's position than in our position right now, especially when looking at both team schedules and comparing them, because there's no comparison. Really, really quick, I want to touch on Tyler Bass. Excellent.
Give
game.
Him a round of applause.
I trashed him earlier in the season, and I'm very sorry.
We all did. That 58 yard field goal, A, he could have made that from 65.
Yes, B, he could have.
It was money.
Right.
I mean,
it was money. It was right down the middle. It was right down Broadway.
No hook, no curve, no nothing.
Beautiful kick. The only kick that he had on Sunday that was iffy was the doink.
The doink, right.
No, that did make me nervous. But have you ever had a kicker that's like beat his personal best three times in a row? Granted, he's
that was cool. That was cool.
Awesome.
That was cool.
Well, he's been on a mission, man. When you start the way you start, hey, you know Buffalo fans, we're really serious about football here. He started rough. He started rough. God knows what people said to him out in the streets in Orchard Park. He's in Walmart. They're like, hey, you're trash. I mean, you don't know how people are doing it. Writing on his car or whatever, but toilet paper, whatever it might be.
Writing on the lawn. So,
on his lawn. No. Yeah, like they did my boy Leotis. Yeah. I mean, hey, Fredo, don't tell.
Fun fact about Leotis McKelvin. I went to high school with the kid that did that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's got, all bad.
So I went to Canisius for high school.
Oh, my God.
He got kicked out for this, but it's funny. But
yo, I went over to Leotis McKelvin's house the day after that game, and I really had no words. It was kind of like when we started this podcast. I didn't want to say anything. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to say.
You didn't want to say until 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, man. I mean, you're a client of mine, but I'm pretty pissed right now. What happened yesterday, man? I'm gonna tell you right now. You know, I'm not happy about this, man.
But to be honest, to get back to Tyler Bass,
yes.
I do yeah. think that he just needed a little time to adjust. I mean, it's already a weird year coming in. You don't have the preseason to kind of warm yourself up. So these rookies are just jumping in, blindsided, and, you know, they just got to get to it. And he just needed those couple games to kind of figure out his footing, figure out where he's at. It's a little bit different from NFL to college. And I think he finally got that time, figured it out. I mean, his strength is those long kicks. That's what we drafted him for. So
right.
I think it's just, you know, it's just a matter of which hash it was on between him, Bohorquez, and Reed Ferguson, you know, but they figured it out and they looked great this week. So hopefully that just continues moving forward and we don't have to,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't have to be a problem.
I have to laugh because you mentioned Corey Bohorquez and I don't want to knock the guy. He's had really
a
good
was a horrible pun.
Are you talking he's about had, that?
My friend John texted pun. Me. We have a group chat. It's just me and my friend John and Jimmy because, like, we're probably the biggest Bills fans in our friend group. And John texted us this today and goes, guys, can you guys name, like, people that can kick a 12-yard punt? And I go, honestly, probably every single person in my phone probably could. And I mean, granted, this Corey Bohorquez has had a really good year.
Barely had to use him.
I know. And honestly, right. though, Ian Eagle said it on the call too yesterday. There was nobody happier on that sideline seeing Arizona kick a field goal instead of get a touchdown on that out of that. I mean, the Bills right. defense really bailed him out big.
Huge
time.
The Bills defense played well yesterday, and I
agree.
Knock the Hail Mary, and I'm going to play it one more time just because, of course, let's just get another headache.
But I'm closing.
There's your boy.
I'm done.
Oliver.
I'm out of here. That's my boy, Big Ed. Go ahead, boy.
It's just like, other than this play, other than Hail Mary, the defense played well. And I'm not frustrated about their game. I'm not frustrated about anything else. I'm more frustrated at the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is this good. The defense played a good game this week. They played a great game last week, too, against one of the better offenses in the NFL. There's no way
around that. Oh, my God, look at that DeAndre, play.
Look at that
catch. How many angles do we need to see this at, though?
I know, that's the last angle.
I don't want to watch this anymore.
I'm trying to figure it out every time you look at it. What could we have done different on that play? I don't know.
Poyer is just not even two steps away. If Poyer makes a diving effort, I think he gets it.
Trey White didn't get in the. I mean, I'm not saying Trey White was in the way. We need him there too, but
Will was right though. I mean, how many guys do you want to put on like one of the receivers that can get up there that much? I mean,
you know what? It's a game of hops, and you could. I was watching NFL channel this morning break down the games, and obviously they spent a whole lot of time on this play. And all the analysts said the same thing. They actually looked at DeAndre Hopkins' basketball skills and his vertical. They actually broke it down on the screen.
He compared going down it to his dunking.
Going down to his hand size. I mean, he has 10.5-inch hands, you know, versus Jesus Poyer's God. Whatever. He really does. 10.5-inch hands from
That's
palm to
huge.
Fingertips.
What the hell?
Listen. So the point is this. When you add that to a vertical that's already 6 inches higher than any of the other defenders, even if they all jump the same time, he gets that ball over all of them. It was a hell of a play by a hell of a receiver. There's nothing you could say about it. I just wish that we wouldn't have put ourselves in that position. And when we had Tyler Murray trapped up in that backfield when he scrambled out of it, that goes back to all of my points all season. We know what's coming. We send the house on that. There's no way that he should have been able to even get outside of containment on that. We should have blitzed him like they would have killed us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. However, having said that, check it out.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I love that shirt. I say that all the time.
It is what it is, guys. So that plays over. Hell of a play by a wide receiver. Great defensive play by us. But
it is what
guys, it is what it is. So
moving on.
Take what they give us. It is what it is. They made a great offensive play.
We're on to the bye week.
We're on to the bye week.
Speaking of the bye week, and I know that we don't have a game on Sunday. I wanted to just do something different here. We do three keys to the game every single week. Three keys to the bye week. What
I
are
do this? Damn it! And I didn't.
All right. Well,
hey,
but start? I have three keys. I do.
All right, three keys to the bye week. Ashley, you started off.
All right, but I do have to give a quick shout out to 26 Shirts. This is their shirt going on right now. It benefits Dominic Militello. He has stage 4 small intestine cancer. He does need a new targeted therapy that is super expensive, but is also really great at, you know, getting rid of the cancer. So that will benefit him. I just want to give, you know, them a shout out. There we go. It's a pretty
I was trying to figure
shirt.
It out.
I'm not going to lie. I love this shirt. It's pretty awesome. Thank you, Del, for asking me to model it. Go help out Dominic Militello if you can. All help is appreciated with these shirts. They're really awesome. So just wanted to do a quick little promotion there. So there that is. But three keys to the bye week. Obviously, everybody's going to say this one, but get healthy. Smoke needs to get healthy. He did not look healthy this game. John Brown needs some time, as well as our offensive line. You can tell they're playing through injuries. That offensive line needs to heal up. We need to get our guys off this COVID reserve list, and hopefully we don't lose the bye week by anybody going on that COVID reserve list. Number two, defense. We really need to figure out how to wrap up these tackles. Get back to basics. Wrap your guys up, because on this first contact, we are not getting the guy down. It's the third or fourth guy that's getting him down. Make it a point to have your first guy or your second guy wrap up that tackle and get him down. And third key to the game, offense, you got to figure out how to keep your foot on the gas this bye week, because here's the thing. I mean, you could have won this game easily if you scored a touchdown on any one of those three field goals. You had that game won. It wouldn't have come down to a Hail Mary. So figure out how to keep your foot on the gas through the third quarter. Figure out that too. But figure it out through the whole game, not just the first half and the fourth quarter. You got to play all four quarters.
Will.
I'll tell you what. My three keys to this bye week is kind of simple. You know, a lot of it's duplicated because it's just the reality of our football team. We need to use this time, one, first and foremost, to get everybody on the field, get everybody healthy. You know, do what you got to do in this week. Take it easy if you need to. Do whatever you need to do to get healthy, because we need our players on the field so we can really see what we're working with, so that all these predictions we're making actually have a chance of happening. Because without our star players out there, we miss a linebacker, we miss some safeties, we miss a cornerback. You never really know what you have right there. And so I'd say definitely get healthy in this bye week. The second thing is I want our defensive coordinator to spend time alone, some alone time, some aromatherapy or whatever he needs to do. And sit in a room with the board, the Miyagi pose or whatever we need to do, you know, Karate Kid stuff. I need this guy to really sit in a theater of choice, his own at home, preferably with no one around him, no kids, no dogs, no nothing. Take a look at what the hell he's dialing up on defense. Take a look at the chess pieces that he actually has to move on his board. I mean, hey, if you see that we're getting slaughtered on the right side, then what do we need to do right here to save the rest of this line? We need to move some pieces around. That's when your aromatherapy comes in. You take a breath and you say, hey, I've been screwing up. I've been blind all season. I have been allowing everybody to run through us and over us when I could have just moved this damn knight or this king on this edge right here and got Ed Oliver's Popeye's chicken like he wants and get him tackling some people over there. So
he had a tackle.
Hey, he did have one. All right, so anyway, all jokes aside, that's it. Seriously. Defensive coordinator, man, dial it up. You know, let's get some blitzes going like everybody's killing us. Let's use what we have. We do have some talent, but we are missing some pieces. So let's play to some of our strengths, whatever we have. But the key is to put some pressure and figure out a way to use the pieces we do have to make them better, because we need better edge rushing, better containment, better quarterback pressure. My last key, I know that was a long one. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a really long one.
Super long.
It was, man. It was. Knock it off, Fredo. All right. Anyway, my last one is this.
I'm kidding.
All right. Hey, that's it. I'm out of here. Hey, you know what? It is what it is. It is what it is. The hell with this. You know? All right. Listen. My last key is this. This is my last key. Buffalo Bills, we got spanked in the last 11 seconds of this game. We beat ourselves in the last 15, 20 minutes of that game by silly penalties, for one.
Yeah.
We allowed everybody to live in our backfield like we were offering a free lunch back there. That's a problem. We need to figure that offensive line out. We need to not lose our confidence in the fact that we do have a great wide receiving core. We do have a great up-and-coming quarterback. The boy is nice. I love Josh. We need to just stay confident. We need to go into this bye week knowing that we're not going to lose any of our swag. We're going to make minor adjustments to become better, to make this playoff push towards the end.
Really quick, before I get to my three keys, I just want to give a quick shout out. If you guys look, see that right there? A buddy of mine, he owns Real Deal Sports Collectibles. He gave me that. Go to him for any Bills, sports, Sabres memorabilia. He's got it all. It's pretty darn cool what he has. And I actually got a lot of my stuff from him. Anyway, so my three keys. One, I'm serious by this. I said it earlier in the show. Break down this play and show it every single day. Let it resonate. Let it sit in these guys' minds. Let them see what happened and let them say, you know what? We're better than this. We're better than this. We should have won this game. Yeah, we lost. It's in the loss column. But you know what? And I think I mentioned this going probably 3 weeks ago. I'm looking at my phone, looking at the schedule. I think I mentioned this after the New England game. We didn't need to win the Seattle game. We didn't need to win the Arizona game. Those games don't matter. We went 1-1. The games that do matter down the stretch are LA, Pittsburgh, Denver, New England, Miami.
The entire schedule besides the 49ers.
But exactly. But before I say an expletive, you need to take this time, relax, get the mind right. Don't take this as a huge negative. You played an excellent game on Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. Minus one play. But still, it was a great play made by two great players. Don't let that get to you. Don't let that kill your season. Don't let that kill the vibe that's going on in the locker room right now. Number two, I think the biggest thing right now, we need to figure out some continuity. We didn't get into this, and I don't think a lot of people really know the answer to this. A lot of questions on the offensive line right now. Mitch Morse, he was not out there for half the game. Sean McDermott comes out today and says he was put on the bench not for health reasons, not because he was injured, not because he's benched. So what was it? Very interested to see that, because he's arguably probably the best offensive lineman we have next to Feliciano, in my opinion. We need to figure out what's going on there. We have 10 days to figure that out, 11 days to figure that out. We need to figure that out going into this game against the Chargers. Because, again, the Chargers, they have good defense, very good defense. Yeah. And you know Anthony Lynn's going to be hungry. Anthony Lynn's going to want to prove to his old team that he could beat us. And number three, just get ready for the home stretch. I mean, you're playing some big opponents here coming up, and I don't care that San Francisco doesn't have Jimmy Garoppolo or George Kittle, and they're going to have Nick Mullins and Ryan Dwelly as their two guys that you're throwing the ball, your two main players filling in those positions. I don't care that they are going to be depleted. This is a game that's going to be at home for San Francisco. It's Monday Night Football. Nick Mullins is going to want to show up and show out in prime time. There's some tough games on the schedule. And even Denver, it's in Denver. Probably a primetime game. That time hasn't been set yet. You need to look at this schedule and say, we need to go 1-0 every single week to finish out this season and get to where we want to be, because that's ultimately what they need to do to get to that point. And it's, and personally, I think it's going to come down to that Miami game, January 3rd. So Andrew Cuomo, if you're listening, which you're probably not, I really appreciate if you can let us in to Bill's Stadium on January 3rd. I think the game starts at 1 o'clock. It might get flexed. Social distancing will be abided to.
They're about to shut down my gym tomorrow. So,
oh, are they?
Oh, I'm almost expecting it. They pretty much alluded to the fact today. Mark Poloncarz has had his press conference, and they were basically alluding to the fact that it hasn't gotten higher the last couple of days, but it hasn't gotten better either. So
it hasn't.
It's looking like we're going to go into the orange tomorrow. So I'm just letting everybody know, your beauty salons, your gyms, all that good indoor dining. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen tomorrow. So I highly, highly, highly doubt, as much as I would love to go to a Bills game, I highly doubt seeing it happen.
Well, coronavirus can't live at the stadium. There's no way. Yeah, I've been out there.
There's a barrier there.
I've been out there so many times. When people get drunk out there, coronavirus has no chance of living out there.
That freaking, ball, you're not taking at all. A bowling ball shot, you're immune to coronavirus as far as
that is true. I'm not even kidding. I did that bowling ball shot 1 year. I don't drink after people I've never had in my whole life. Nobody. And I was like, he was like, do the shot. I'm like, I did it. I'm thinking, oh God, I think my lips are gonna literally fall off my face. That's the nastiest thing you can ever
that
do.
That shit is gross that they buy. Shout out to Pinto Ron, though. Pinto Ron is going to – he was there. He was there yesterday.
Got it done.
Pinto Ron is going to keep his streak alive in his eyes. I would have said, you know what, this year doesn't count. He is going to every game that they're allowing fans at this year. That's
every,
so his
every game away, every away game,
every game away, every yeah, because there's that's no home games fans. So every away, he's going to every away game where there is fans. So he went to Arizona. He's probably going to Denver. San Francisco's a no. Yeah, Denver's the last game on the schedule, I think, that has fans.
That's crazy. What if we finally get our freaking home divisional playoff game? I will be so.
I think we're going to get it. We're going to get it. Nah, we're going to get it. Listen, we're going to finish this. Come on, we can't sound rattled about this loss and the way we were playing. And we're poised to win our division for sure. Miami's going to win a couple of the games. We're going to win most of ours.
Right.
We're going to still be number one, and we are going to make the playoffs.
First round bye.
Anything I say.
Make the playoffs. I'm not concerned about that. I'm more so concerned about the division. We're here. We haven't been able to be here in this position without New England ahead of us for 15 years.
Which is why it sounds so negative. That's why it sounds so negative, because the things that we say that are negative are because we know that we need to be stellar when it comes to playoff time. You don't want to make the playoffs and get bounced out first round, you know, to a team that we should have beat. So you want to be able to, you know, come up and beat these games. Hold on, I got to take this call. Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
You want me to tell Fredo what? To stop playing that shitty play. Oh, the play to Hopkins. You want him to never play it again? No. Fredo's a good friend of mine. No, don't leave his house alone. He's a good guy. Tell him to stop.
Why
I'll tell him
do
to stop.
Need to watch this again. I'm about to shut my camera off, Fredo.
Oh boy, Fredo. You better lock your doors, man.
Watch your lawn tomorrow morning.
That's all right. You know what? He's playing it over and over right now. So I'll give you his address. We'll just go by there with toilet.
On that note,
I muted his mic.
So anyway, that was some stalker fan. I don't even know the guy how he got my number, but he's like, listen, if Fredo runs that damn video one more time.
No, Fredo, why do we need to subject into this torture? I'm going to close my camera out right now.
That still hurts a lot every second. All right. But next week, it's the bye. This is the bye week. There's really, unless there's some dramatic news that happens, we haven't really talked about this. I don't think there's a need to do a show next week with a bye week. We're going to take a bye week ourselves, get ready for the home stretch. We have six big games, and you need to win them. You need to get a winning record over these next 6 weeks. Get refreshed over the bye week. Get ready to play the Chargers at home. You got three home games. You got three road games. I mean, there's some winnable games on this schedule. You got Miami knocking on the rear door. You got to be ready to compete. It's exciting. I mean, we haven't been able to be in a dogfight for the division really in quite some time. The last year, yeah, it was close with New England, but I mean, it really, nobody ever thought that we were going to win the division last year. This year, everybody picked us to win the division. Now we have Miami knocking on the door. Let's go shut them out and prove that this division's ours this year for the taking. Yesterday, it sucked. I think we've said that. I think we could all admit that. I don't even know what to think, what happened. But hey, you know what? Things could be worse. You could be the goddamn New York Jets.
So you could be that.
You could be the Jets. So you know what? We're 7-3. It's not the end of the world. 8-2 would have been nice. 7-3 is pretty darn good too, though.
It is what it is. You know, it is what it is, fellas. The shirt of the pod. Buffalo's top of the division, man. We're going to close this thing out strong. We're not going to harp on yesterday. That was a great play by a great two offensive players that are phenomenal. We were in position for the play. We lost the game. Let's move on. We're going to win our divisional games. We're going to end up in the first place in our division and get into these playoffs and perform well. That's how we're going to wrap this season up.
In the words of Bubba C, it's time to roll.
Time to roll.
And we're going to close strong.
Oh, my God. I love it.
There it is. That's it. And take what they give us. Let's go.
All right. So we're gonna take a week off next week, bye week. There's not going to be much to talk about because obviously there's no trade deadline or anything like that. So we're going
Let's do this, though, Fredo. Let's all – each one of us do something small, like maybe Ashley get online with somebody, I get on with somebody, and you get on with somebody, and we'll just upload it, you know, make a show next week, just some interviews with a couple people.
For sure. We'll do something. We'll get something out on social media, and we're going to take a – hopefully the Bills can get refreshed, get rejuvenated, get out there in 13 days and take down the Chargers and start out the home stretch on a high note. But
aromatherapy.
You can't let what happened yesterday define your season. If anything, great teams are made off of really shitty circumstances sometimes. And maybe the Bills will realize this, and hey, maybe we'll be talking about that play in February, the week before the Super Bowl. Who knows?
But that's right.
For Will, Ashley, I'm Fredo, Why So Serious Podcast, Season 3, Episode 10. It is what it is.
Bills in my duffel, yo. You don't want trouble, bro. Heat in my pocket, heart cold like Buffalo. I would just hustle one thing, but I need options. That work about to touch down, call it Steve Johnson. Catch me flying through the field like who want beef? It's 25, but I could get it for the 1-3. Certified fly guy, you on my time. I'm really real and you as real as a sci-fi. I'm trying to bring it home, baby. It's our time. They cheering for me like I'm crossed the 1-yard line. And I'm all about my bills like Stevie Johnson.
Black card boys, yes, BCB, we pop.
Get that dough straight across like I'm running streaks. My bills come in hundreds, my women come in threes. This hater ran up on your boy like he was furious. I lifted up my shirt like, why so serious?
I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. Hold my women, throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my